Well, as you may have noticed from the worship and the whole theme, and even the theme of what the kids are doing, I'm just going to do another session on joy. Anyone want more joy in their life? Amen? And I really believe this is one of the keys to walking in the Holy Spirit in these days. There is much to cry, and I just want to begin this message with saying, we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we understand for some, you may be really going through a time, bereavement, whatever it is, and this may be a message to pack away and bring out on another day, but I also believe this is a message, for the most part, for all of us to take away and build into our lives. Amen? Wonderful. Well, I will never forget Roy Godwin's message here. Do you remember what it was? The celebrating father. Do you remember that message? And it's so powerful. And I really want to begin by touching on that. But before I do, last time I shared, we ended on this. And he was actually a Brethren boy. Hallelujah. Did you know that? And he ran an orphanage in Bristol, George Muller. And literally, they would give thanks to God for, they would say grace with nothing on the table. And then there would be a knock at the door, and the butcher and the greengrocer or whoever it was came with the food. And he was a man who gave his life to orphaned children, got them off the streets of Bristol. And he made this statement, it's not in the Bible, but there's lots of primary businesses that we need to do in our lives. But I just felt it really stood out as a man that is one of the most celebrated men of faith of the 1800s. The first and great primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to make my soul happy in the Lord. Wow. And I know sometimes, you know, Monday morning, some people get up and they open the curtains. It's interesting how easy it is to worship God when the sun's shining. Anyone noticed? there's not quite so much joy in the house during January, mid-January. But you know, God, Smith Wigglesworth, jumped out of bed every day and the first words he would say, hallelujah, today is a gift from God. Amen. Today is a gift from God. And some of us, you know, we're in the second half. Some of us are in extra time. Some of us is going to penalties. And the longer the game goes on, the more you value every minute of every day enjoying the Lord. Amen. I want to just touch the three parables of Luke 15. And Jesus talks about, this is what the Father is like, essentially what he is like. And he says, if one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he clips it round the ears, whacks it with his staff. Come on, what happens? When he found it, he lays it on what? I was seeing so many pictures of Jesus. We got one in our bathroom of all places with the sheep on his shoulders. And what does he do? He rejoices. And when he comes home, you know, I was reading a book on this parable and how in the Middle East and Israel at the time, the shepherds would go out, and if one of the shepherds hadn't come home, they knew he was going after a lost sheep. Some of the others would look after the other sheep that were his. And the kids would wait at the entrance to the village. And when that shepherd returned with the sheep on his shoulders, oh, everyone would applaud and celebrate. Amen. When he comes home, he doesn't just want to have a little celebratory drink with his wife. He says to the village, he calls his friends and neighbors and says, "What? Rejoice with me. I found my sheep which was lost." And likewise, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 that don't need to. And I just want to, I was reading this and going through this week, and I really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. You see, you can read that and go, "That's a nice shepherd, and he's got it." Nigel could do a better sermon than me on this, but I'll have a go as a townie. It's nice he brings that sheep, and it's nice he's rejoicing. But saints, it's not just about a sheep. It's about you. Amen. He cut you out of the thicket. He lifted you out of your pain. He puts you on his shoulders. And he doesn't go back like a gruff Yorkshireman. And God bless Yorkshiremen, I'm going to get told off by someone. Here he is. He goes back rejoicing over you. Not because you've done anything, but because you're back again. Amen? And just imagine you, and as you come into the village, that sheep must have thought, "What have I done to deserve this? They're having a party about me." And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, "I'm so glad I found you. I'm so glad that you receive me as your Lord and Savior." And I just felt there's some here today and you're just hanging on by a thread. And Jesus wants you to know, "I'm so glad you've held on to me. Through these years, in tears, in sleepless nights, in pain and in fun and in rejoicing. But you held on and I held on to you. And I rejoice over you." You see, if you're going to live a life in the joy of the Lord, you need to know how much he rejoices and he loves you. There's that Old Testament verse, "He rejoices over you with singing." We used to sing over Silas. "Baby Silas, baby Silas, you are the cutest boy in all the..." The neighbor said, "You shouldn't puff him up too much." No, there's enough knocks and bruises in life. You know. And it's not like he just said it once. He said it three times. The widow finds the coin. She looks intently for that coin. And when she finds the coin, she doesn't go, "Oh yeah, that's great. I can pay the bills." She says to her neighbors, "Come, rejoice with me. I found the peace which I lost." You know, we talk about people being lost, and they are lost. They're without God. But they're also lost from God's perspective. The Father longs
to be with them, to for them to enjoy him and know him, and he has lost you. And he brings you back. And he doesn't just do it on the quiet. He calls the neighborhood together to rejoice. Amen. And then the prodigal son. There was so much celebration going on that the father went, the elder brother got upset. And the father said, listen, it was right that we should be merry and be glad. Your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And God wants you. I will never forget the day I was praying for these series of meetings I was involved in. And that back then we bound everything we could bind. We loosed everything we loosed. We banged on heaven. And then the Holy Spirit just said the most simple words, Phil, I just want you. You are more important than all of these meetings. I died to have a relationship with you. Now stop screaming at me. I'm not deaf, although it's good to shout sometimes, shout to the Lord and all that. Let's have some time together. Amen?
Amen.
And so he rejoices over you. He leaves the 99. He holds you on his shoulders, rejoicing. I've got this one back. Hallelujah. For some of us, it would have been harder to pick up. But he loves you. God, there's a well. In fact, not just a well, there are wells of salvation. Wow. And the prophet here says, don't be afraid. The Lord is your strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with what? With joy, hallelujah, you will draw water. In the Middle East, when you get hold of water, when you cut in and you find fresh water, there is joy. From the wells of salvation, recently I've been studying up on communion, I've been studying up on covenant and covenant, the covenant meal and all of these things. And I just want to tell you, the more I dig into that wells of salvation, the more joy I'm experiencing in my life. There are wells for you to dig. And it's not that if there are to dig with joy. Amen? You keep drawing on that well. As Vernon was saying, you know, when we first got saved, there was something often for most of us, there was incredible joy. And God wants you to dig into that well again. Hallelujah. Let's get out of that thing that the joy is now so deep and mature that it doesn't manifest anymore. God wants you to walk in the joy of the Lord. And with joy, dig up. You know, every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ. Dig out those promises. Start speaking them out of your life. We had a word about our descendants. God's bless, pray, declare over your children. God's purpose, God's power over their life. Amen?
Amen.
There's a river of gladness that flows where? Through the city of God. There's a river of life.
out of your innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water. And it says God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. But this river makes glad the city of our God. God wants you to walk with a gladness because you are saved. Some of us just need to go back and just remember what a mess you were and just enjoy the fact God has redeemed you. Amen. And get back to first love and enjoy Him and celebrate the salvation you got all those years ago. Amen. There's a river of gladness. And I look back through my life and there have been years of great joy, years of great victories, great blessings. And then there's been times of tears, times of heartache, times of pain. But underneath all of that, I can honestly say that river of gladness has pushed me forward. Amen. Underneath all of the heartache, that joy has never left me. And God wants you to walk in that joy in these days. Amen. This generation need to see the joy of the Lord on God's people. Amen. Why are they doing drugs? Why are they taking ecstasy? Because they need to see us manifesting the joy of God. Amen. It's a delight to serve Him. Amen. Someone said, God, He's going to give me the desires of my heart. It's in the scriptures. Well, read the scripture and it says what? Delight yourself in the Lord. So notify your face. Delight yourself in the Lord. You know, the people I know, there's people like Rachel, they always spend half their life worshipping and doing, you know, delight. They don't have everything sorted in their life, but they're just delighted to know the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I just see the blessing and favor of God come. Learn to delight yourself in your salvation. Learn to enjoy the simple things that you once did. Amen? And we sang this. Thank you, Claude. And the ransomed of the Lord. You've been ransomed, spirit, soul, and body. We return. Times of revival. And come to Zion with moaning and whinging and whining. No, how do we come to Zion? With singing. And listen to this. An everlasting, I know I shared it last time, joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow and sigh. Oh, it's great to have on the front. He's always smiling. Hallelujah. There's a joy that you carry. Even an accountant can carry joy. Just so long as you carry it while you're doing the treasurer's report, that's fine by me. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, for many years as a Christian, I had some joy, but I carried a great sorrow. Not knowing my father, disappointment, certain things. And it was like a heaviness. And I was really serious for God. I mean, really serious. Very intense. I never joked when I preached. It was boom, boom, boom. It's like I came in with a spiritual machine gun and just shot everyone. I don't know why anyone came to hear me back then, but God, somehow someone... Some people did. And I remember back in that time, in the 90s, the power of God came on my life. And joy unspeakable just flooded my being. I could not get off the floor. I was overwhelmed. And I can honestly say, sorrow and sighing fled away. I didn't need some big hours of inner healing or anything. The Holy Spirit. Do you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just does the operation for you. And I was just so utterly changed that when some of my old friends came to see me, they said, "This is not the Philip Whitehead that I knew before." Sorrow and sighing fled away. Maybe you're carrying sorrow today. God wants to break it off you. You're going to obtain joy and gladness. It's going to change how you go to work on Monday morning. Hallelujah. It's going to change how you do life. It's going to change your family. Hallelujah. I was playing a sermon on joy and Carrie kept nudging me the other night. "Oh, you remember, oh, you remember that vid verse?" Anyway, I'm getting there. And I have had many sorrows since that time. But under it all, the joy of the Lord has been my strength. And that's how God wants us to live. Restoration, revival, always results in new songs and worship. Hallelujah. They will come to Zion with singing. Amen. And it's those, and you know, you read up revival messages, revival history. Sometimes they would, even the recent Ashby revival, they would worship 18 hours a day because they're so caught up with joy. Hallelujah. No pressure. But when you've been touched by God, it changes you. It's like you can't stop people worshipping. I remember there were times in Notting Hill where the congregation just took over. Which, when you're doing rotation services and the next service is waiting outside and they just carry on worshipping, does get a bit complicated. But God wants to restore joy. An everlasting. Amen. Ron, while you're mowing those lawns, you can be humming, you can be singing, you can be whistling. An everlasting joy. Even when the cow's kicking you in the knee or whatever, there's a joy that God wants to give you in your journey. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. It's actually a spiritual weapon. If he can't steal my joy, he can't steal my strength. Yum yum. John Wesley tells of a time when he got touched by the Holy Spirit and he laughed and laughed and all of his cares and worries fell away and he was changed. He was changed. Restore to me the joy. There's a joy in salvation. David lost it, as we saw last time. If you've lost that, you cry out to him. Create in me a clean heart. And if there's somewhere back where you lost your joy, find out where you lost it and find it again. Sometimes people lose their joy where they just chose to live in unforgiveness and the joy lifted. Release people. Amen? Sometimes people are angry at God or angry at others. Let them go. God did you no wrong. Get the joy of the salvation back into your life. That's what David cried out for. That's what he wanted. What? Get rid of the joy killers. How many people are aware there are things that the enemy throws at you to kill your joy? Hebrews, you all know the verse. Lay aside every weight And the sin that so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Get rid of the joy killers. Let me give you some. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Where you let someone live rent free in your head. And let me tell you, forgiveness is not for their benefit, although they do benefit. Forgiveness is for your benefit. Because then you can, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're blocking forgiveness in your own life. But when you let it go, I've led so many people through in prayer, as they've forgiven someone, it's like a lightness came back on them. And they go, I've got peace for the first time in years. Because they forgave. The sin that so easily ensnares us. Do you know, I hear people preaching about, not here of course, but you know, sin, listing sins, endless sins, sins. Look, can I just say, get rid of sin in your life. Get up and walk with Jesus in his joy. Stop wallowing in the mud. Don't be like the pig that goes back and wallows again. And then Jesus has to get you, come back and repent, and he hoses you down. Come on. God has given you commands, his ways, so you can walk without those entanglements, without those bondages, without those weights. And you don't walk around with a heavy rucksack. It's time, saints, to go, I want to live fully and completely for Jesus. And I'm going to get rid of these weights in my life. Once and for all, I'm going to say no to unrighteousness. Amen? And because of the grace of God, it's the grace of God that causes us to say, no, I'm not going to watch that stuff anymore. Amen? Amen? Because you're missing out on the good stuff. Because you're missing out on the blessing. Because you're missing out on walking in the joy of God. That God bled and died not just to get you to heaven, but to give you life in its fullness. Amen? Amen. So stop wallowing around. Get gossip out of your life. Oh, but I can't help it. Well, ask the Holy Spirit to break in there. Oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. Amen? When you're tempted, give the Holy Spirit 10 seconds. Am I going to shout at this parking warden? 1, 2, 3. Phil, you're a born-again Christian. 4. I love that parking warden. 5. He's serving his community. He's my servant for the... 6. Why didn't you thank him for what he does? 7. Why didn't you ask if you want to bless him? 8. Just give the Holy Spirit 10 seconds. Amen. You don't have to live like that anymore. Amen? He can cause you to keep and rise up and break out and live in God's joy. Amen? Amen? It's gone quiet again. Stop worrying. The cares of this world, or another translation, the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches make the word unfruitful. Who of you, by worrying, can add what? A single hour to your life. I'll never forget the time where the ministry that owned the freehold, the group that owned the freehold, oh, it's on low power battery. I'm going to have to hurry up. Amen. How did it get that low? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? What do you get out of it? And they said, 1.5 million within 1.5 months, and you can have the building. We were going to lose everything. We had all the ministries in the building, all the things. And I went into a season of worry, fear. And then I saw us, you know, meeting outside on the green and in the rain. And I was just like some sleepless nights. And God said, whose church is it anyway? It's my church. And by the way, I said, I would build my church. So it's not your job. And I just had to, over a period of time, pray, get all the intercessors going. We anointed the whole building. We claimed it for the kingdom of God. We did just about everything, wrote people, got lots of people on board. And at the end, and then I got to a place of victory where I got my joy back. Amen. I said, you devil, you are not going to steal the joy of my salvation. And then they came back and said, we realize we can't sell the building, so we're going to lease it to you. I thought, oh, how much are they going to charge? £1 a year. Hallelujah. Whoa! And the overseer, Dave Campbell, said, I told him that over breakfast. He said, here's your pound. I paid for your building. There we are. David was probably the most persecuted man in the Old Testament. Amen? Had a king, hated him. He betrayed by his own son. He had a tough life. But one thing he knew, in your presence, you will show me the path of life. Jeff, there's a path of life for you. And he'll show you that path. Do you know what I find? When things hit at you, God has a path of life. And David, who said, one thing I desire, that will I seek, that I can be in the house of the Lord, in that place where I'm beholding the beauty of God. And he knew if he could get back into the manifest presence of God, that God's present everywhere, but we're talking about the manifest presence of God. In your presence is a bit of joy. What's it say, Otty? How much joy? Fullness. When I hit things, as you do, tough times come, health issues come, whatever comes your way, go back and bring yourself through praise. I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart, your courts with praise. Get back to that place. And do you know what? Every time I encounter God, I may be in awe, I may be in deep repentance, there may be lots of things that God is doing, but I come away with fresh joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. He wants you to enjoy him. He doesn't want to just save you and you enjoy going to heaven. Do you know the Westminster Confession? We looked at it the other day. I'm going to flick onto this before this goes. The chief end, this is the Puritans, of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, most Christians don't have an issue when you say, I'm going to enjoy God in eternity. Oh yeah, of course, we're going to be surrounded by the glory, we'll be surrounded by that angelic company, and we'll be worshipping Jesus. But God wants you to enjoy him now.
today. Whatever issues you are facing, to sit down like Mary at the feet of Jesus. God's had to really sort me out on some things. I've had times where I'm crying out to God for the church, this, that, and the other. And the Holy Spirit said, Phil, just come to me as a son. Forget about the church. I can sort that out. And sit at my feet. And I want you to enjoy me. And I am going to enjoy being with you. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. A long life's narrow way. Before you get your shopping list down, enjoy him. Yes, he will nail sin in your life. Sure. But he wants to get that out of the way so you can enjoy being with him. Amen. Oh, saints, there's so much more, so much more, so much more. Okay, just to make Vernon happy. Isaiah 56, I will make them joyful where? In the house of prayer. God wants your prayer life and our prayer meetings to be places where we are pulling on God's goodness for us, for our church, for our town, for our nation, that we are getting answers to our prayers, where there is joy. I remember being in a meeting and God answered one of the kids' prayers and he got a new bicycle. I can't remember what it was. And then the kid turns around and says, what should we ask Jesus for now? Wow. And it's like, oh, I love praying. Amen, Vernon. It says here, ask, this is Jesus, and you shall receive. And that's what will happen. Your joy may be full. You ask Faramedi at the back, she's got her book of answered prayer. You want to be like that child where he's answered this prayer and go, what can we ask Jesus for now? Prayer is a delight. And if you're coming to God looking like Eeyore, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to make you joyful in the house of prayer. Yum, yum. Some churches, the prayer meeting is the most miserable meeting of the week. And we're not laying hold of his reluctance. He wants to answer your prayer. Amen? If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's command. And these things I've spoken to you. Why does God want you to keep his commands? That my joy will remain in Esther. And that your joy will be full. Amen. Stop lying. Stop mucking around. Get hold of what God wants for your life, and you are going to have a fullness of joy in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope I can tempt you to live for him. It says he hated lawlessness and loved righteousness. Therefore, God anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. It's a wonder. It's not like the movie, but it's a wonderful life. And you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yes, but I know what my brothers and sisters in Syria have been going through, watching people martyred, watching people living in prison cells, and they have more joy than most of the churches in this country. Hallelujah. Go and give your excuse to them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. Well, some people say, doesn't God get angry with us? Yes, he does. His anger is for a...
How long's his favor last?
For some people, his favor's for a moment and his anger's for a lifetime. Listen, yes, he'll deal with you. Anyone ever been dealt with by God? But his favor, it's so that his favor, Travis, can be on you for the rest of your life. Oh, Lord. That's the God we serve. That's why we can enjoy God. That's why I've run out of things. Okay, I'm going to bring this in. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? You don't have to crank it up when you really know Jesus. When you love Jesus. When you walk with Jesus. When you talk with Jesus and he talks with you. You're not like, I'm trying to make myself happy. Joy is a sign of spiritual maturity. Amen. Amen? The apples don't come quickly. They come slowly on the apple tree. But they come. And love, joy, and peace. That's going to be part of your normal Christian life. You're just going to carry it. That's why people, as some of the testimonies I've heard recently, when I go to work, people say, why are you so happy? I'm getting fed up with it. Be miserable like me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This world, and let me tell you, young people need to see a church filled with the joy of God.
Amen.
Because God rejoices over his people. I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer and bring us into land. Okay, so you think you have a choice. Who believes the Bible? Some of you. Rejoice in the Lord on Sunday morning. Come on. Well, come on, say it. Say it to me. Come on, come on, come on. And again. Now, you might hire a theologian for thousands of pounds to try and get you out of that one, but you can't. It says what it says. Rejoice. Rejoy. Amen. And Paul was in jail when he wrote this, chained to a Roman soldier. And that Roman soldier, can you imagine being on shift? It's like, okay, it's my night shift. Who are you chaining me up to today? Paul. Oh, no. He's going to be singing all night, isn't he? Yes, he is. Sorry about that. It's your turn to do Paul. Oh, God, he's good. Listen. It's not mature to be miserable. It's not mature to ignore what God wants us to do. Webster's Dictionary says, to feel joy and great delight, while rejoice is to have and possess. The scripture conveys that to rejoice in the Lord is to have joy and delight in the Lord, to feel joy when you think of him always. So the scripture conveys that to rejoice in the Lord is to have joy and delight in him. Oh, I love that. Some of you are going through tough times. But just think of the Lord and what he's done for you and his love. How he took you on his shoulders. And some believers, you know, they go and get caught in the thicket and he has to do it again and again and again. But he brings you back, rejoicing. Just imagine being in that jail cell and you think of him. And you think of his love. You know, sometimes I think, oh, I paid a great price to serve Jesus. We haven't paid anything compared to other people in this world. But we rejoice in him.
rejoice in him. Sometimes I get up and I come down to the kitchen and Carrie's got the worship music on full belt and I've got a headache and she's gone real kind of loud kind of worship at the moment, and I'm into sort of gentle sort of vineyard stuff. I have to ask her to turn it down a little bit, you know. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And she's going into a hospital, I'm just blowing a trumpet now, meeting people on the edge of eternity, meeting people literally about to cross over, praying the last prayer over their lives, leading them to Jesus. And she goes out rejoicing. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. He's worthy. If you've got a migraine, you feel fed up, you've had a bad night, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And do you know what you'll find? He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Oh, I won't even do that one. That's too painful. Joy brings you through trials. Count it all what? Joy. I remember one person rang another. They were really into this. I'm still got a big L sign, and it's all going to come back at me if I start preaching this bit too much. But they go, I've got a trial. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I don't know how God's going to pay this bill, but here it is. And I want you to just come and rejoice with me. Count it all joy. Trials will come, but the joy of the Lord is your strength and will push you through. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Would you just stand? Thank you, Lord. And Claude, if you want to come. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, just thank him right now. Just rejoice in your own life. Hallelujah. Maybe you used to rejoice and you've gone mature. Let me tell you, that is not maturity. You're sliding out of the blessing of God. Just begin to magnify him. Rejoice in him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Goodness and mercy have followed us today. Lord, thank you for your kindness, that therefore with loving kindness and tender mercies, you draw us back to yourself. Just remember you on those arms of Jesus as he brought you back to the fold, rejoicing. Oh, he is so glad that you are here, that you have come and you have asked him into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy of it all. Hallelujah. It's not just a sheep he brought back, it's you he brought back. Hallelujah. Maybe right now you have drifted off the things of God and you know you're not where you meant to be. God, Jesus says, let me cut you out of that thicket. I am bringing you back into the joy. Maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. You look back and go, yeah, I remember being on fire. I remember the joy I carried. And God says, come back to first love. Come back to that place of rejoicing. Come back to the place of gratitude. Come back to the place of just living free. And maybe you've allowed sin to entangle you. It's time to repent, saints. It's time to say no to unrighteousness. Because God's grace is on you. His favor is on you. And so wash us clean. And Lord, may sorrow and sighing flee away. I break off every heavy yoke in Jesus' name. And Lord, let them obtain gladness in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go declare.